this feeling of urgency and responsibility that God has given us, Eagle Church, but us, American Church, because we have been so blessed growing up where the gospel is readily available. And other parts of the world has little or no access to who God is. And so that's why we do missions. That's why we do, why we have mission partners like Remember New, and why we go to Berlin, and why we go to Sicily, and why we go to Bosnia, and why the youth are going to Ecuador this summer. And missionary is our middle name. We are the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And missions is our middle name, and ways that we can get involved. If you're interested in how you might be able to get involved, one with Remember New, you can talk to Carl today, or anytime, any of our partners, you can see Lacey Turnquist. Lacey is our missions coordinator, and she would be glad to answer questions and get you plugged in somewhere. And I say all that because getting plugged in, serving, is what we're talking about this morning. This Lenten season, we have been looking at what we are calling rhythms of grace. Other words we might use are spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices, or just the normal Christian life. This is just what Christians do. It's just what we do as followers of Jesus. And as we take inventory of our own life and how these rhythms fit, it is kind of like going to the doctor for your annual wellness visit. They take your vitals, and then, are you eating right? How is your sleep patterns? How often do you exercise? And I'm just going to say, the older you get, the more personal those questions become. They want to know stuff that I'm not even thinking about, didn't know I needed to think about those things. So we've been asking the question, how are things with your heart? We're talking from a spiritual mindset more than the doctor looking at the physical, but how is your heart? The way to a Christ-like life is through the heart. It's through heart transformation. It's through heart change. We either change our behaviors or we change our thinking. God comes in and begins doing things. So this last few weeks, we've said, how is your fasting going? How is your times of solitude? How is your times of Sabbath, of rest going? And now this morning, I want to ask you the question, how is your service? It would be easy for talking about service to just dive into a teaching on spiritual gifts and volunteering and all the ways that you can get involved in the church and set up a ministry fair and have all of our ministries represented at a table and clipboards and sign up, and I could guilt you and shame you into not serving enough. But we're talking about the heart, not the physical body and doing. And we're talking about who you are, the being more important than the doing. And so the question is not, can you serve, but why do we serve? It's a question of attitude. It's a question of motivation in our serving. I've seen too many people over the years hear the plea for volunteers and jump in without ever asking, where's my heart in this? And then they get burnt out or they get run out and think, well, serving must just not be for me. No, serving is. It's a natural Christian rhythm of our life. It's not a season, it's what we do as followers of Jesus, because he set us the example of serving. That verses that Lacey read for us is a time where Jesus is spending kind of the last night with his disciples. And he does something that they never thought that he would do. Verse 14 says, and this is talking about the attitude that we are to have in service. Verse 14 said, if I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus' attitude throughout his whole life was one of humility. And he's teaching the disciples and saying, you need to have this attitude as you interact, as you serve one another, as you serve the world, as you walk into your workplaces, as you walk back onto your college campuses, as you walk back into your schools, as you walk into your neighborhood, as you drive home today, humility. It's shown in the simple act of washing the disciples' feet. Now, this washing feet was a normal thing. We kind of think it's kind of weird because we don't do that. When people come to our house, I don't get out a bucket. I do that to my dogs because they've trampled through the mud. I wash their feet when they come back in. I've never done that for someone that's come to my house. So don't worry that if you go to the Harris's, they're going to be weird. We'll be weird, but it'll be other things. This whole washing of feet was a house servant's job. Because if you're walking in sandals on dusty roads, your feet get dirty. And so it was normal for when guests would come, that they would wash their feet as they entered the house. But it was the servant's job. In fact, it was the lowest job. It was the servant lowest on the totem pole that would greet at the door and wash the dirt off of their feet. Yet when the disciples got together in that upper room, not one of them thought it was their job to wash everyone else's feet. And so when Jesus stood and wrapped a towel around him and began to wash Peter's feet, he would have nothing of it. Jesus said, teaching them that service comes from this attitude of humility. Servant is not a position, it's an attitude. It's a title that we choose for ourselves. I am a servant of the King. Paul taught this to the Philippian believers. He said in Philippians chapter 2, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, this is especially true of leaders. And every one of us is a leader at some level. Moms, dads, leaders in the home. Some of you are leaders in the workplace. Students, you are leaders on your campus. Had a student saying that talking about the college that he's going to be going to next fall, and said he didn't know if there was a Christian organization or club on campus. And he said, maybe I need to start one when I get there. Yes. That's service, that's humility, that's God, how would you use me? That was Carl at 42 years of age, successful insurance. God said, I got something else in mind. And it's that humility of, Lord, whatever. And as leaders, that most of our leaders, whether in our workplace or homes, 50 years ago, a man by the name of Robert Greenleaf, following a successful 40 years career at AT&T, spent the last 25 years of his life consulting major organizations on this idea of leadership. He worked with Ohio State University. He worked with MIT, the Ford Foundation, the Lilly Endowment Fund, others in leadership principles. And in a book written, he said he kind of came up with this idea of servant leadership, which we think is an oxymoron. But servant leadership challenges traditional, autocratic, and hierarchical models of leadership with the idea that leadership is based on teamwork and community, one that seeks to involve others in decision-making, one strongly based on ethical and caring behavior, and one that is attempting to enhance the personal growth of others. He might have been the first to coin the term servant leadership, but the principle was shared by the Apostle Peter when he addressed the elders and the church leaders throughout Asia Minor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he says to the elders, And to anyone who is in leadership and at any level, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That whole not lording it over comes from a compound word in the Greek that means exercise authority or overpower. And Peter is saying that's not the example Jesus gave for leaders. We don't go in and overpower people. The world might operate that way. Someone steps in, new position in the office, going to shake things up. Half of you are going to go, I'm going to get. Some of you have been there. Some of you have had it lorded over you before. You know what that feels like. The world says my position, my title says that I am in charge and you must follow me. It's how the world operates. Says, not so with you. As shepherds of God's flock, it's not lording it over. It's coming alongside, leading by example. Peter says, if you really want to lead in the way of Jesus, it will come from your humility, not your title. Anyone can be given a title. Not everyone can lead from a position, from an attitude, from a heart of servanthood. Jesus told the disciples there, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. I am teacher, I am Lord, I am the creator of the universe. And if I, the Lord, would humble myself to wash your feet, you should lead the feet washing team in the kingdom of God. No one is above anyone else. We all have roles to play. So many verses speak to this attitude of humility. Matthew chapter 20, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. For by the grace given me, Romans chapter 12, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith. And that could go on and on and on. Do a word study of humility in Scripture. The disciples thought washing the other person's feet was beneath them. And Jesus said, as soon as you think something is beneath you, you will never lead them. So how are things with your heart? How is your humility pressure? Talk about heart pressure, blood pressure. How is your humility pressure? Who would those around you describe you as humble? Whose feet are you not willing to wash? It's an attitude of humility. But not only that we not only have to develop or have Christ work that humility muscle in our heart, but also we have to understand our motivation in service. Our motivation is simply following Jesus. It's simply obedience to Jesus. I am serving Jesus. And this might be hard because we're changing the way we think about things. Because I said we could come up here, we could do a ministry fair, and you know, Eagle kids need this many volunteers, and Eagle students need this many, and worship team needs this many, hospitality needs this many, women's ministry needs this many. Who's going to fill all the slots? And say, oh, well, I'll serve in. No, forget all that. You are serving Jesus before Eagle kids, Eagle students, worship. It's Jesus. I am doing this for Jesus. Eagle kids just happens to be the location. Worship team just happens to be the location. Hospitality just happens to be the location. But my motivation is Jesus. So the change in our heart is one of humility, but the change in our mind is one of serving Jesus. Our motivation is not because they need more help in a ministry, but because I want to serve the King. Jesus shared a parable, and I'm not going to take time to read it, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40, where he's coming up and he's rewarding, and he talks about, you know, he was hungry, he was in prison, he was naked, you took care of him, and they said, when did we do all those things? And Jesus said, I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these brothers and sisters of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And that we need to begin thinking that when I am serving others, I am first serving Jesus. When I am taking on ministry, I am first ministering to Jesus. Because that will change our whole motivation when something comes up and I've got to cancel my ministry to the church. Something comes up and I've got to go and I, you know, it's last minute and I'm canceling Jesus. My motivation to serve doesn't come out of need, but it's out of relationship with Jesus. Blackaby, Henry Blackaby and his son Tom, they wrote a book and in there they say, each person plays a vital role in God's kingdom. From the least noticed to the most prominent individual, and each role is just as important as all the others. The key is not how noticed you are or how effective you are, it's how obedient you are to your Lord and Master. Jesus gave us the example of service as a natural rhythm of life, but the rhythm comes with a Jesus attitude and a Jesus motivation. There's a different mindset, a different motivation. I'm not helping with it. I am serving Jesus. Serving the kingdom is normal Christian behavior. Serving Jesus is normal. Claiming salvation in the kingdom and not serving is abnormal. My heart attitude is one of humility. Serving out of relationship with Jesus, not position or title. Not so that I can be seen. People know what I'm doing. People know who I am. I'm just serving the King. My heart motivation is I'm doing this for Jesus first. So, how is your heart? What is your attitude towards service? What is your motivation for serving? Not just here, but out there. Serving in your workplace. Serving in your school. Serving in your neighborhood. What is God asking of you? What heart transformation do you need to serve the way of Jesus? I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I have an opportunity for you to get behind and serve. As we were sitting in the missions team meeting last Sunday, a need arose that we said, we need to pray about that. We just need to do it. A lot of things we pray about, we don't need to pray about if we would just serve, if we would just do it, get together. And Tom Lange Bartels was sharing, I don't know if you've ever heard of Elijah 21, is a ministry seeking to share the gospel with Muslim refugees wherever they are. And we have, Tom, if I'm right, about 3,000 refugees here in the greater Indianapolis area that Elijah 21 would like to reach. And they have an event coming up April 20th, and here's what they're going to do. They're going to send out invitations to thousands of invitations to Muslim families here in the Indianapolis area. They're going to invite them to a dinner on April 20th. After dinner, they're going to show the Jesus film. And this isn't a bait and switch. They know what they're coming to. It's not, we'll get them in and then we'll sneak it in. No, they know what they're coming to. So dinner around, and they're going to see, and we're going to show the film in two different languages. There are several different speaking languages, but it'll be shown in two different languages. And then afterwards, there'll be some follow-up that's done, and we'll see what God does with this. God has been reaching people through Elijah 21, and we are thrilled to kind of come alongside and be a part. But they need a lot of help. They need people who will help with setup. They need people who will buy food, make food, serve food, sit around the tables with a translator and just get to know and build relationship. They need people who will follow up, and they need people who pray. So if you would love to know more about that, Tom Lange Bartels is going to be out at the Mission Wall at the end of service. My wife, Sarah, has already said, I'm going to put together a prayer team for that event. If you would like to be a part of that prayer team, you can see her afterwards. But this is our opportunity to serve and to reach the lost and to do what God is calling us to do. So where's your heart? Where's your heart? What condition is your heart in? Father, thank you for these opportunities. Father, for while you don't need to work through us, you have chosen to work through us. You've invited us into what you are doing around the world. So Father, tap us on the heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.